Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board and join us in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917 is the telephone number. That call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion. On yesterday's broadcast, we had a plethora of those that had called in saying, I'm thankful, and sharing what you're thankful for. Feel free to do that today. We're going to have a special guest in a moment after our brief monologue. We'll be talking about why Americans should be thankful. Now, I know the first thing you think about is, should I be thankful of the fraudulent election of 2020, the fraudulent election repeated in 2022? Should I be thankful that we have some wicked people in Washington? Just why should we be thankful as Americans? We'll talk about that today with our special guest in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, I think it's a wonderful time. Thanksgiving is always a wonderful time. For us to pause, stop, reflect, and simply remember all of God's goodness and blessings and mercy that He's shown upon us individually and collectively as a nation in this past year. May I say that according to 2 Timothy 3:2, the Bible says in the last days, people will be unthankful, and that is what we're seeing today, an unthankful people. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe God would have us to be thankful, especially in the realization, the recognition that God is sovereign, God is still on the throne, God is still in control, man is not in control, God is. Whatever we see taking place that man thinks that he's controlling, it's because God's allowing it, and God's allowing it for what he would have to be accomplished in our lives individually and as a great nation. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. John 17:17. And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And so may I commend truth to you today. There are a lot of people today that believe that somehow, some way, what they think and what they say and what they feel is truth. In fact, I'm saddened to have to report to you, in case you've not heard it, this article that I'm looking at says, most young Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, in the body of the article, the research says that we have America's reached the tipping, has gone past the tipping point, because 55% of Americans, 18 to 29 year old group, each person says that each person determines his or her own version of truth, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason it's so poignantly clear. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made a statement. Jim DeMint says, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in America's churches. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I commend that to you each and every day. I believe it is wise in the society in which we're living today to make a conscious, deliberate decision that we're going to learn the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, and be willing to stand and defend the truth even to death. We have those in elected positions across the whole spectrum of the political arena in America today that believe that somehow, some way, compromise, they call it reaching across the aisle, that compromise is the way, the expedient way to get legislation passed and things done for America. Ladies and gentlemen, compromise has never been authoritatively approved any place in the scripture. Regardless of what position we're in, we're not to compromise with the world. We need to come out from among them and be separate, the scripture says. It is very, very clear that, ladies and gentlemen, we have a volitional decision to make. And that includes, ladies and gentlemen, the current season where we have a volitional decision to make, and that is in relationship to whether or not we're going to please the Lord in saying thank you, thank you, thank you to what God is doing in our great nation today. In fact, in Leviticus 22:19, the scripture says, and when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. That means volitional choice. So we have a choice today. It may seem dark. It may be difficult. There may be devastations and difficulties that you're living through today, but we still have a volitional choice to be thankful for what God is doing. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Tam. Tools for Tam is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Tam carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Tam carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Tam can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Tam, located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin, is a perfect identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole, Old Glory of the U.S. flag flowing over the campus of Tools for Tam. Find that flag in the flagpole, in the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Tam. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Tam is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Tam is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Tam to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Tam, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Tam. ToolsforTam.com, ToolsforTam.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking a profound question today: why America should be thankful. If you want to place it another way, why should America be thankful? We are faced with so many things that seems to be a barrage of negative things taking place all at once, all simultaneously across our nation. We're watching a denigration of the morals, the ethics, and values. We're watching the destruction of the nuclear family. We're watching an attempt to dethrone God. We're watching the legislators in the House and in the Senate in Washington today making decisions that's calling a sodomite marriage an honorable marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the destruction of our southern border. We're watching the destruction of the sovereignty of America. And I could go on and on and on and on. So with that said, as Ezekiel 33:10, Ezekiel asked the question, how should we then live? So with all of that being said, why America should be thankful? Why should Americans be thankful today, ladies and gentlemen? Let me give you a biblical illustration. Then we're going to introduce our guest today. We're going to talk about the things that's happening, some of the negative things, and even among them, why we should be thankful. We'll be talking about today about Thanksgiving and what it's about, and inviting you to call in, participate in the question, the dialogue, and the discussion with our special guest, and at the same time, taking a moment to say publicly to the listening audience why you're thankful as an American. But ladies and gentlemen, in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, I'm not going to take time to read it, but at your leisure, pick up your Bible, open your Bible, and study Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And there's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story there. It is the illustration, ladies and gentlemen, of what I believe should be our view today. It's the biblical account of 10 leprous men. Now, according to Numbers 13 and 14, leprosy is very, very deadly. That era, there was no healing, no cure for leprosy. There were 10 leprous men. They're wandering in what we would call a leprous colony outside of the city. They were considered unclean, untouchable, undesirable, unwanted. They were wandering in the leprous colony outside of the gates. They were not allowed to go in. They could not go to worship with their families. They could not embrace their family members. They could not be a part of the regular society because of their leprosy. It was a quick-spreading, deadly malady that they were suffering with. They were all going to die. They were all terminal, all 10 of them. All were helpless. All were hopeless. All had no one to turn to, but they met Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ healed, ladies and gentlemen, hear me, the Lord Jesus healed all 10 of those men. But only one out of the 10, 10%, a tithe of those men, 10% came back, fell on his face, the Bible says, before the Lord Jesus and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's my hope today that Americans, all Americans, conservatives, Christians, patriots, all Americans will pause this Thanksgiving season and thank God for the blessings upon us as a nation. There's an old song that perhaps you know. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. And I believe if we'd sit back, ladies and gentlemen, and count our blessings today, this special Thanksgiving season, we can see that the blessings outweigh anything that we would call bad that's taking place. Perhaps you've faced difficulties, disappointments, and even dire circumstances and situations in this past year. I cannot count on my hands today the number of those that we've just discovered in the past few days that are having major, major life-threatening maladies. Some are in the hospital. Some are facing serious surgeries. Some are facing serious financial difficulties. Some are facing major family divisions. But ladies and gentlemen, even amidst it all, we need to thank the Lord. In fact, when you look at the scripture, it is the fact that we pray, and when we pray, we turn it over to God with thanksgiving. Then the scripture says, the peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lesson I believe needs to be learned by multitudes in society today, of how to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful today, if I can use that term without it seeming too redundant, we're thankful today to have our very special guest, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida in the House of Representatives. We're delighted to have Congressman Hill with us today. We're going to be talking about these things and why we should be thankful and how we should be thankful as Americans. Welcome to Let's Face the Issues today, Congressman Hill.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for having me. It's always such a blessing to be on your show.
Well, I want to say to you and for your dear family, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing. And I pray that you and your family have a blessed, happy Thanksgiving. I've never understood the term happy Thanksgiving. It's we're asking God to provide a blessed Thanksgiving. That's what we pray for you and for your family this Thanksgiving season. Congressman, I believe that we as Americans need to sit up, pay attention to what's happening, and even in the midst of all that we see happening, we need to be thankful. We witnessed a fraudulent election again. So let's start our conversation on this level. If you believe, and I do, that we've just witnessed another fraudulent election, what can we find in that, through that, that we should say, thank you, Lord? What is it that we need to be thankful for as a result of this election that we've just gone through? Then we're going to go from there to other events that's taking place in America today and ask your position, your thoughts, your recommendations on how we embrace those things and still say, thank you, Lord.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, first of all, I think we should be thankful for the fact that we recognize that it was a fraudulent election, that it's been revealed to us the cheating that is going on. Previous to 2016, there was cheating that was going on, but we didn't seem to be that aware of it. But it was so blatant in 2020 when President Trump was denied the election. It was so blatant what the cheating was like. And so it opened our eyes to look more closely. And so in this midterm elections, we could see it even more, even in areas where we hadn't looked before, at the local level, down to the school board level, city council, county commissioners. We could see the fraud that was going on. So we should be thankful that it's been revealed to us, that it has been pointed out. We should also be thankful, Dr. Youngblood, that we live in a nation that when we do experience this type of fraud, that we can do something about it.
Amen.
There are other nations when there is widespread fraud, widespread cheating, rigged elections. You know that in a lot of dictatorship countries and in communist countries, and everyone knows what's going on, and they can do nothing about it. But we can here in America. We can rise up with our voices. We can demand justice be done. We can demand a correction to those mechanisms which create the cheating to go on, for the election fraud to go on. We can change it so that it stops being that way. As we saw here in Florida, ballot harvesting has been severely curtailed. It still happens, but it's been severely curtailed because everyone knows that that is ripe for fraud to happen. And so we need to fix things like that. And we have a nation here, United States, where we can be thankful that we can correct a fraudulent system, that we can make it right, because we, the people, have a voice here in America.
Amen. Contrary to many nations, as you said, Congressman, where they have no voice, no opportunity to change things, reverse it. Congressman, I'm looking at an article. It says, what should be the focus of Christians on Thanksgiving? And further in the article, it says this, and I'm pointing it out because of what you just said and where we both agree that this is where we need to be. This article reads, we, like the pilgrims, have a choice. In life, there will always be those things that we can complain about. The pilgrims had lost many loved ones. Out of the 102 that landed, 44 had died the first winter. But there will also be much to be thankful for. As our society becomes increasingly secular, the actual giving of thanks to God during our annual Thanksgiving holiday is being overlooked, leaving only the feasting. May God grant that we may find that He may find us grateful every day for all of His gifts, spiritual and material gifts. I believe, Congressman Hill, that we agree, and I believe that it's necessary for our listeners to understand it can be dark, but gloriously dark, because as we see these days coming and going, we realize that we're approaching the sudden seizure, the snatching away of the bride of Christ, and the fact that the rapture of the church takes place, and we're snatched out of here. So I'm thankful for what you have just said, that we as a free people, we can make a change. We have the opportunity and the freedom to do so. Congressman Hill, the Bible tells us that we're to give thanks in everything. as you view America and what we're faced with today, inflation, food, fuel, financial shortages, about to go into what seems to be a strike for the railroads, with the increasing dilution of American sovereignty because of our southern borders. What do you find in these things that I would call dark things? How should we view them? And I'm saying that in view of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, where the scripture says, in everything give thanks. Then there's the little word for. The Greek text, it's the word gar, means because. So in everything give thanks, and then God's word gives us the reason. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So for those that are listening today, Congressman, that's facing the inflationary, all of us facing the inflation, but for those that are being devastated by it, for those that are looking at Thanksgiving and many talking about a turkey dinner and some that do not have that, and then the fuel running $3.50, $4, and it's been as high as $5.50 in America, and then financial shortages with the continual escalation of interest rates and the shortage as a result of that. What is your advice? What is your take on, and what would you say to our listeners, the way they should respond, we should respond in the days like that when the Bible says, in everything, give thanks?
Well, as the scripture states, Dr. Youngblood, because it is the will of God, the United States is a unique and exceptional nation. We are the only nation that I know of, Dr. Youngblood, that annually sets aside a day for Thanksgiving, that with our prayers and supplications, we are to be thankful before the Lord our God. We're not to be thankful for our government. We are not to be thankful for our financial position or our educational position. We are to be thankful because of the Lord God in heaven, who pours his blessings out on us. We're the only nation that does that on an annual basis. It started, as you said, with the pilgrims many hundreds of years ago, and then it was codified in a law by various presidents as we go through our history here in America. But we always look at this Thursday in November as a day we set aside for prayer and thanksgiving, despite all that is going on around us. And here's something that's amazing to me, Dr. Youngblood. It's not just here in America where we can be thankful and should be thankful each and every day. It is Christians around the world can be thankful. We Amen. Have Christians who are right now being martyred, who are being killed because of their faith, because of their belief. And despite all that, we maintain an attitude of thankfulness. And why is that? You know, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, talks about a mystery that in times past had been hidden. Rotherham translates that word mystery as a sacred secret. And it says, in times past it has been hidden, but has now been revealed to God's saints. That mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
And that's why we are to be thankful, because we have a hope that lives within us, Christ Jesus himself, which lets us know that whatever is going on around us, we have this great hope, this great salvation, that God has protected us, preserved us, and will sanctify us against all that is happening around us. And one day we will be united with him as his bride. He is our groom, the church, joined in unity. And that is why we can always be thankful regardless of what's going on around us.
Amen. I couldn't have said that better myself. I'm thankful. I believe we have Philip on the line. Philip, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I can be thankful that shows like yours are on the air to give out the truth. I believe we can be thankful that God is still on the throne, and he's still in control, and we have his promise of Romans 8:28 that all things will work together for good. And that's my comment.
Amen. Thank you for that, Philip. Thank you for that testimonial. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you have a brief word that you'd like to share with our listeners today about your thankfulness and why you're thankful, what you're thankful for. Love to have you call in if you do. We're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, former representative for District 1 here in the state of Florida, the House of Representatives. If you'd like to join in the dialogue and discussion today, please feel free to dial 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're listening by way of Internet, you can dial 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you and have your dialogue and discussion with what we're talking about today. Why America should be thankful. I believe that we need to be thankful, as Congressman Hill just mentioned, thankful in the realization and the recognition that we have a fantastic hope, and that is nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Congressman, may I ask you to do this? This is juxtaposing now where we are and what's happening with the need to be thankful regardless of what happens. I've been watching with bated breath the election process in Arizona and the fact now that the Secretary of State, which was the one of the loose lax lost liberal, as I call it, candidate for governorship in Arizona, has now declared herself the winner. Carrie Lake has refused to concede. What's your view on that? What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that Carrie Lake will ultimately be victorious in the ultimate count? Do you think fraud took place there? Just give your take, your overview thoughts of the election in Arizona, especially the governor's race.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, it's so clear that election fraud, election malfeasance took place in Arizona, just like it did in 2020 and probably elections before then. But it is so clear and so blatant. And my hope is that Carrie Lake will prevail and will be declared governor. I agree with her. Do not concede. They are finding now ballots that had not been counted in districts that were completely red, that were 98% Republican red, and they had not been counted. So they are finding these ballots now that need to be counted. I think that Hobbs was premature in wanting to declare that she won, I guess hoping that the press would pick it up and then that the counting would stop. But Carrie Lake is a fireball. And the reason why I hope that she wins, because that would show that justice can prevail. There Amen. Are certain times when justice does not prevail. But we are. I'm hoping she will win just so we can say, yes, justice won at this time.
Absolutely. Congressman, hold your thoughts for just a moment. We've got a couple of callers on the line. I believe we have Jennifer first. Go ahead, Jennifer, with your question or comment.
I would like to thank you so much for your program. It's so wonderful each day to hear the truth spoken about God's word and the events of our world after all the lies that are being told. And I would just like to share that I believe that we have Thanksgiving today and every day through the eternal healing love of God that was poured out to us through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood.
Amen. Thank you for that comment, Jennifer. You're exactly right. That is the key focal point for every Christian, every child of God. I believe we have Neil holding, if you would hold on until right after the top of the hour news. Congressman Hill, hold for a moment to keep your thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.